Because I Can live podcast, and I am so, so flippin' thrilled to bring you Elise Dharma. Now, I've been following Elise for a little while because she is an Instagram expert. And with all the changes that are happening with Instagram right now, I thought, what better way than to serve you better than bringing in an Instagram expert? Now, Elise Dharma, she doesn't just show you how to post. She shows you how to post so that people actually see your content. Like, have you ever posted before and it sounded like crickets out there? Yeah, she actually is against that and talks about how to not just post just because of posting. She shows you the details, the tips, and the tricks, which she brought into today's podcast episode and was so gracious to open up her brain and spill it all for us. Now, Elise has been featured in Forbes, on Entrepreneur, Brit & Co., Elite Daily, and The Everyday Girl. Now, I dove into specific questions using Instagram. Like, are hashtags the big thing anymore? And if so, do you choose the hashtags with millions of hashtag uses or the ones with small hashtag uses? And then I put her on the spot and asked her of all the Instagram features. We've got Instagram TV, Instagram Stories, we've now got Reels. There's so many different places that you can post on Instagram. And she tells us which one is least being seen right now and which ones are actually out there and growing your following. And then she drops a bomb. You know how you always think that comments and likes are the thing that Instagram is looking for so that you can get more exposure or even on the featured or discovery page? I'm just gonna knock that one out of the park. It's not. It's two other things, but you've got to listen to the podcast so that you can hear what she recommends doing. And guess what? I tested it and tried it, and it works. It works. And then my favorite thing that she talks about is how you don't need a large following. You just need to learn how to make your Instagram account get more eyeballs on it. So we're going to dive into today's podcast episode. And then at the end, I'm going to do my top 10 takeaways for you. And okay, before we get started, can I just say, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you for showing up. There's a bajillion other things that you could be doing right now. Watching Netflix, eating ice cream, so many other things, but you are here, you are listening on how to grow your business. And I just want you to know that not only am I proud of you, but your future self is thanking you for showing up today. So take a minute and remember how great and how powerful you really are. And then get ready to take notes because today's podcast episode, you're going to learn more than you ever have about Instagram. Hey, you are listening to the Because I Can Life podcast, where we believe we can decide our own income, choose happiness, kick fear in the teeth, and never, ever stop. Why? Because we can. I'm your host, Allison J. Prince, and I went from being a junior high science teacher to building four online multi-million dollar businesses with four kids at my feet. Each week, I'm bringing you real conversations that have led me, as well as other experts, to step into our dream online business lifestyle so that you can get the answers you need to craft your Because I Can life as well. Take that first step and commit now to your Because I Can life by downloading your free personal bundle at allisonjprince.com/bundle. Elise, I am so, thank you for taking the time for coming on and talking Absolutely. About Instagram. Instagram, all thing Instagram. You are a pro at Instagram. I was just watching how to make a GIF this morning.
Oh, cool.
How to do stickers this morning on your YouTube channel, which is amazing. And then can we talk about how cool your Instagram page is? Do you
Sure, if you'd like.
Do you repurpose your YouTube content and put it on your Instagram? Is that how you
do
it?
I do, yeah.
Do it separate?
It varies. So sometimes we'll have a YouTube video, and if it's been released for at least a week, I will turn it into an IGTV video, and I'll remove all the YouTube elements, and then I'll just play it as a 10 to 15 minute video on my IGTV. And funny enough, I always assumed that if it was published on my YouTube, they've already seen it, but that's never been the case. I've republished the same video on my IGTV. And in fact, that's how I was able to get on Amy Porterfield's podcast. I repurposed a video, posted it to my Instagram. She saw it, and then she asked me to come onto her podcast to speak on that same topic. So I will repurpose them either as an IGTV, or we'll turn it into like a carousel post or something like that.
I love it. I love it. Okay. So you know that I work with a lot of newbie entrepreneurs who are in the e-commerce space. Mm-hmm. So can I ask you, can we kind of talk about how e-commerce people can grow their Instagram? I know you're a big believer in how Instagram can make sales and just dive into that. So let's say we've got a brand new business, brand new entrepreneur who's getting selling products online. What would you recommend? Where do they start?
Brand new and selling products. Okay. So that is a great question. First of all, you have to have your business model down, which is, I know what you help people do, right? You figure out the whole business process and system and flow. From there, you'll develop your brand, right? What is going to differentiate your product from everything else that's out there? Why are people going to choose you over someone else? That brand, whether it's your values, the benefits, the features that you have, that brand then needs to be relayed over onto Instagram. So there's a couple ways that you can do that. Obviously, setting up your profile is really the first step. The way you write your bio is really important to speak to your target customer and highlight why you're different. And we can walk through how I write bios if you'd like. And so once you're up and running, once your brand is running on Instagram, what I recommend for e-commerce people is to focus on a few key features where you can really increase your sales. One being stories, because people on Instagram don't follow brands to be sold to. They follow brands because there's usually a human behind the brand, or they get to see behind the scenes, or they get to see sneak peeks, or they get to be involved with the product creation process for the next thing that's coming out. So stories are a really great way to just engage with your current audience, ask for feedback, get people on wait lists, build in anticipation for new products. So many great things that you can do there. And the cool thing is with stories is when you create content that people reply to, because you know how at the bottom of a story you can pop in a comment. Mm-hmm. When you encourage your followers to comment or reply, what happens is that creates a direct message thread between you and this person. And I love direct messages, which is a second feature I highly recommend that you, you know, focus on. I love direct messages because that's where a lot of sales are closed, because you can send someone an unlimited number of links in the DMs. And oftentimes, especially when buying products, a customer might only have one or two questions that's holding them back. Hey, I'm based in Canada. Do you ship to Canada? Or whatever the last question is. So for e-com shops, I do recommend that you have a customer support person if your business is at that stage, and you have them man your direct messages. Make sure you're checking them every day and responding. And if you're running a shop that sells multiple products, like I said, go crazy with the links. There's no limit there. So DMs is really where sales happen. The last feature that I would really have e-commerce shops focus on is IGTV. IGTV is Instagram's play at YouTube, some people say. It's for long form videos. So anything over a minute will go to your IGTV channel, up to 60 minutes. So you can upload from your desktop, a film basically. And why I like IGTV is because today, as of recording, when you go live on your Instagram, which is amazing for product releases, by the way, I've seen some e-commerce shops hold like live auctions on Instagram Live, especially when they're selling one-of-a-kind products. They'll literally like hold up the product, and the first person who comments sold, they'll put it aside for that person. But aside from that, when you go live today, no longer will that live replay live in your stories for people to watch it again. What Instagram will do is ask you to publish it as an IGTV video. So then it will live on your feed way longer than 24 hours. So I really like the idea of e-commerce shops getting into the habit of posting to their IGTV, whether it's going live first or not at all. You can film on your phone. You can use an app, you know, stitch some clips together and publish it as an IGTV. But Instagram's loving video content right now. it's pushing video content on the explore page, which is how you get in front of new people who aren't following you. So all really powerful features and, you know, not too time consuming to manage once you get into the flow of it.
Okay. So you said something, well, you actually didn't say something that I think is huge. You didn't say the regular Instagram posting. You talked about direct message. You talked about TV. You talk about stories. You don't even talk about a regular post. And then in one of your videos, you say you only post on your feed 3 times a week, but Instagram stories, you're posting 3 times a day. So talk to me about why the posting isn't on this must-do list for Instagram.
Yeah, I think it's really the evolution of the Instagram app. It started off as an app for photography, right? And in 2016, which is when marketers really started to look at Instagram, I've been running Instagram accounts since 2013, but I really noticed the shift in 2016, 2017. The obsession was still there with photography, high quality images, perfect feed, you know, everything on brand. That was the vibe. And what I noticed in 2018 and 2019, people got fatigued by that. They didn't want perfection. Business owners were getting exhausted with holding photo shoots every month for perfect images. So as Instagram's released new features like stories, like going live, like IGTV, we have Reels, which is coming out soon, which is kind of their play at TikTok, which is video marketing.
When is that coming?
Few people have it now. They're the testers. So it's in testing phase with a few select accounts. I think in the US only. I'm Canadian based, so I don't even have it. But it's going to be, they're saying, kind of their play at TikTok. So short little video clips that you can add music and fun effects to really easily. So I'm excited for that. But what I've noticed with the release of all these features is that Instagram is encouraging people to not spend so much time taking a perfect photograph, making a perfect feed. It's really about being consistent and showing up, even if it's a little raw and, you know, not so polished. That's what stories are for. The feed is also just where people are spending less time. Like if you look at stats on Instagram, especially when stories came out, people were spending more time watching stories than scrolling their feed. And we can see it even in the way the app is designed. When you sign into your Instagram account and you see your newsfeed right away, what's at the very top? You just see the story bubbles. Mm-hmm. So what I realized is that people's attention was going to stories. I told my students, hey, you can chill on content. You don't have to post 3 times a day to your feed. Find a content schedule that works for you, aka be consistent no matter what. So for me, I just decided 3 times a week was what my team and I could do. And I would show up on my stories 3 times a day. And, you know, since I've taken on...
I love the permission you just gave us to not have to over-edit, overthink all of the pictures on our, just on our feed. Like people want raw, people want real.
It's better for you to show up in a way where you're like, oh, this, I don't know how well this looks, like, than to not show up at all. And I know I was victim to my own mentality in 2018 and 2019. I posted way less and my followers just stayed static. And this year in 2020, as I've posted to my schedule, as you described, we've grown like 30,000 followers so far this year. And I do think it's largely because I'm showing up consistently, even if, oh, this doesn't match my feed that well. This is going to look too text heavy. That's the way the app has evolved. It's just not about beautiful photography anymore. It's about content that your followers find valuable. So I think that's also the key for e-commerce shops. What kind of content can you produce in your feed that people won't find like is an ad? You know, how do you make it valuable for them?
Okay, so what are some tips that you can give people? At the end, I'm going to tell everybody about this amazing story vault that you have because I know, well, I'll let you describe it, but I know people can get stuck in their head about what to post. And then they freeze up and then they don't post anything. But for e-commerce, give us just some tips on what we can be posting in our feeds or in our Instagram stories.
For sure. Do your e-commerce people that you work with, do they typically sell one product or do they have kind of a collection of products or does it vary?
It varies.
Okay. So with e-commerce, which is actually how I originally got started with Instagram marketing, my very first clients were fashion brands and home decor brands. So physical products and e-com shops, you know, that was really my beginning on Instagram marketing. And what I found was that a lot of e-commerce shops default to posting their studio photos of their products, like perfectly stylized, beautiful background, but it's sterile. You know, and as someone on Instagram, you're not necessarily picturing yourself in that photo with that product, using it and seeing the benefits of your life. So what I really recommend for e-commerce brands is to share your product more in lifestyle-based images, like, and also videos. Videos is also great, depending on what your product does, but little demos, showing how you can use this product three ways, featuring your customers who've got your product in their home, in their office. Just really get creative to show, to make someone who's viewing your account feel as if they can imagine that product in their life. I find jewelry brands are really great at doing this. You're evoking emotion with the product, not just putting up your studio photo and listing out all the features, right? And again, people on Instagram don't follow accounts to be sold to. So outside of your product posts, I really encourage e-commerce shops to have a voice, have a brand voice, and create content that really speaks that brand voice. So quote cards are really popular. They can be jokes, they can be memes, they can be inspirational quotes. Some brands have really gone hard down this path of creating a brand voice, and people love it. People love that kind of stuff. So that can be valuable to someone. The way I describe value on Instagram is three ways. You can share information. So a lot of accounts share tips and information, which is what mine does. You can share entertainment. So a lot of accounts are just funny videos and memes. Totally value to someone's life. And the third way is you can share inspiration. So Instagram really leaned heavily into that field initially. Inspirational travel photos, fitness photos, you know, dress photos. And so as an e-commerce brand, you want to figure out what combination are you going to post? What kind of valuable posts are you going to share? It could be one of those, it could be three of them, totally up to you.
Okay, I love it. Now, what if you've got someone that's like, Allison, Elise, I am really an introvert. I'm scared. I don't know if I want to show my family. I don't know if I want to show my life. How do you address people that are either nervous or that just don't want to open up their entire life to the world?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I've actually worked with clients in the e-commerce space who had hard rules about how much they would show up. Their daughter was never seen on camera. Their daughter was never put in their feed, their stories. They're very particular about that. And I understand the rationale completely. So you have to know your boundaries, what you're personally okay with. If I do recommend if someone on your team is comfortable at least being the voice of the brand, you don't necessarily have to show up on camera, although it does really help with stories. It helps for someone to connect with a fellow human. But if you really, really hate the idea of being on camera, you can simply be the voice, right? So if you're filming, you're using your phone, right, and you're filming a little demo of your product, you can be speaking and be the audio behind the video as well. So start there. Start there if that's your comfort zone. Start experimenting with stories. I'm not surprised anymore when I hear people say, I've been too scared to try stories. You know, I don't really want to be on camera. Stories have been out for years. I do recommend if sales have stalled, if they've plateaued, if you're feeling like it's time to shake things up, test out video. And the easiest way to do that is stories. And if you don't want to be on camera, be the voice who's talking as you show the product, as you demo the product. That is just starting to build that human connection. And so eventually, I hope you could get to a point where you can at least be the face of the brand, the talking head. Again, people connect and buy from humans, not necessarily brands. And then everything else about your life, your family, your kids, you can totally keep them out of your business account. It just, they don't have to be one and the same.
So you know the Instagram accounts where it's unboxing and you only see their hands and never see their face? I love using that as an example because we still don't even know what they look like, and they're making millions of dollars by using their hands and their voice. So it's such a good example.
That's a fantastic example.
Love. Mm-hmm. You said that. And honestly, like, let's be real. We're human. Some days we're going to have puffy eyes. Some days our eyebrows are going to be drawn on crooked, and we don't want to go live on a story. And so flipping it around and just showing your hands is perfect. Perfect to do. Mm-hmm. Okay. So here's another question that I have for you. Hashtags. Talk to me about hashtags.
Interesting that you brought them up. They are one of the features that were built in with Instagram when it started. And if you're not familiar with hashtags, if you're listening, what they are Instagram's categorization system. Not a lot of things on the Instagram app are found through search, right? It's not like YouTube where you can just type in a term or a keyword and find things. The only things that are found through search on Instagram are your username and what you put in your name fields. After that, anything you put in your bio, in your captions, it's not going to be found in search. So that's why people use hashtags to categorize their content so that they can be found for those hashtags. So it's kind of like the only SEO capabilities that come with Instagram. So they're one of the original features, and 100% they still work. They're still effective. I have a business account, so I'm able to get insights on every single post. And sometimes Instagram will even show me my reach, right? How many people saw the post. It will even break down how many came from the hashtags I used. So with hashtags, I do recommend, especially as you're a smaller account, to use smaller hashtags, because you don't want to use hashtag fashion, hashtag shoes. That's a huge hashtag. And all you have to do is actually type that hashtag into Instagram search. It'll show you how many posts are tagged with that hashtag. If it's anything over a million, it's probably too big for you. If it's multiple millions or billions, definitely leave it. Especially when you're a small account, you're not going to be found for that hashtag. You're essentially going to drown in the sea of other posts because it's a big, big hashtag. It's very popular. So stick with more niche hashtags, especially if you're a location-specific shop. Maybe, I think a lot of brick and mortar shops are location-specific. So I really recommend for them to find hashtags specific to their town and location. And then you want to look for hashtags that have, I would say, 10,000 posts as a minimum. So if you find a smaller hashtag with fewer posts, it's generally okay. You just want to make sure it's still relatively active. People are still using it. But 10,000 is a good number, anywhere to up to, I'd say, 50,000. So if you find a range of hashtags that have about 10,000 to 50,000 posts associated, you probably have a good chance of ranking for them. I would say majority of your hashtags, you can have 30 total. Majority of them can be that range, and then maybe put 3 to 5 bigger hashtags. So anything that's like 100,000 plus, you can have a couple big hashtags there. So I do love hashtags. I use Instagram.com for my hashtag research, or I also use this tool called Flick. So that it has been making hashtag research so fast. You basically pop in one of your keywords and it'll recommend a bunch of related keywords, and all the sorting, the data is there for you. So you can find hashtags really, really fast.
And it's flick.com. Is that what the URL is?
I think it's flick.tech.
Okay. All right. I'm going to be checking that out when we're done. Mm-hmm. Okay. So hashtags are still good. You can't Instagram or do hashtags on stories though, right? Or can you, and then hide them? Is that mm-hmm. another strategy?
Yes, exactly. So people can actually follow hashtags just like a user profile. So if you have a big hashtag in your niche, like, I don't know what would be a niche, like handmade goods or something like that, or handmade jewelry. Mm-hmm. If that's a big hashtag that you're using, definitely type it in. And you'll see that when you find that hashtag, it has its own page and there's a follow button. So you can follow that hashtag. And next to the follow button, you'll see stories. So any story that someone has used, you know, hashtag handmade jewelry, you'll see the latest stories that are still there. So 100%, you can put hashtags in stories. You can put up to 10. And there is a belief that if you squish them down to be too small, Instagram won't actually pick them up and count them for those hashtags. So you do want them to be somewhat large and legible. The other option, if you're not going to squish them down, you can simply grab a GIF or a sticker and just drag it over top of them and hide them behind the sticker. So that's one way to sneak them in.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good idea. Because I've been squishing them down, little tiny, and I haven't noticed anything. So I'm guessing that's why, is because Instagram says they're too tiny.
It might be too small. And, you know, when in doubt, go to that hashtags page and see if you see your story in the stories for that hashtag.
Okay. Perfect. Perfect. Okay. Earlier you talked about creating the perfect bio. Can we dig into that?
Sure. Yeah. So here's what I recommend. You have your username, right? Which is usually your brand name. Then you have your name field, which doesn't have to be the same as your brand name. Again, those two fields are searchable. So your name field can be keywords that people would be searching for to find you. Then your bio is basically the first impression. Once someone has found you through search or the explore page, whatever it is, the bio needs to speak to them right away so that they know you're for them. So when I write bios for clients, the first line is usually who you help or who you're for and how. So the easiest way to say that is who you help and how, right? So if you've created a handmade, I don't know, green beauty skin for moms who just had a baby, that would be your first line. Like homemade skincare for new first-time moms or moms with newborns, something like that. Basically, who you help and how. The reason why you want to do this is you want to call out your target customer. And at the same time, you're kind of repelling anyone who's not your target customer. And sometimes people I work with get a little skittish here because they want to say, well, at least I don't want to turn anyone away. You know, I want everyone to know they can buy this. Sure, but when you are specific about your customer, people will really, really know you're for them, or they'll move along because you're not for them. And that's a good thing. You don't need hundreds of thousands of followers who aren't going to buy your product. You need 1,000 people that will buy it, right?
Agreed.
So who you help and how is the first line. The second line of your bio, this comes down to you knowing your brand. The second line is what makes you unique or different. Why do your customers buy from you and not the other competitor that they're checking out? It could be your years of experience. It could be awards that you've won. It could be number of customers you've served. It could be something special about your product that's unique and isn't in the market anywhere else. You want to tell your customers in the second line why they're choosing you over someone else. And if you don't have any of those things I just listed, it could also just be a personality quirk, a fun interest that you have as the person behind the brand. It could be something just also for fun. And then the third line of your bio needs to be a specific call to action as to what's in it for them to click the link in your bio. Because after these three lines, underneath them is your website, right? Your shop link. So give them a reason to go to your shop. Again, people on Instagram aren't necessarily looking to follow accounts to buy. They're looking to be entertained, to be inspired, to be informed. So if there's a reason that they need to go to your shop, it could be getting 10% off a certain collection. It could be a sale or promotion you're running right now. You know, it could be the launch of your brand new collection. Whatever it is, just let them know like what the reason is why they should click the link to your shop. I find a lot of shop owners just drop the link, but they don't really acknowledge that it's there. They don't drive people to it. You need to get people off Instagram to your shop. So give them a reason to go visit your shop.
Now I use Linktree in there so that when they click over, they've got options. Is that the one that you recommend? I've got a little guy in the background. He's in homeschool and he's trying to get his, trying to get something. I don't know what he's getting for school.
Fair enough.
But I am in a live. So can you hustle? I love you. The joys, the joys.
I like the slow walk backwards.
Yeah.
Actually, that gave me some time to look up your profile. I have it in front of me, and I just opened up your Linktree. Linktree is a great option to use to share multiple links beyond just the one link in your bio. Linktree is great. There's also something called LinkedIn Bio that comes with Later, which is the scheduling tool that I use. And with anything that offers multiple links, I always just tell my students, don't give too many options here. You don't want to lose people. So have three, maybe four options in your link. And whatever you say in your bio as your call to action, right? If it's get 10% off your first order, that should be the very first button in your link tree. So Allison, looking at your bio on Instagram, I can see that you actually have more character space to fill in more information in your bio, if you wanted to.
Okay, good to know.
Your bio currently reads, yeah, it says, you can build an online business. Yes, you. I've shown thousands of people how. It's your turn. And so you're pointing down to the link. And then when I go to your link tree, the first button is, how did her girls make six figures? So what you want to do is connect the CTA from your bio, which says, it's your turn. The first button should say, maybe want to know the five basic things you need to start your shop. Whatever is the best first place to lead someone, you'll want to put that right at the top. I like the copy that you use in your buttons, though. It's like you're talking. One of them says, wait, who's Allison? And then the Because I Can podcast. So yeah, I would organize your buttons so that the top one is the very first one for that person to take their turn. Then maybe the podcast, then they can get to know you, something like that.
Okay. Love it. Thank you. Thanks for those tips. I'm always like Instagram. I'm mainly on Facebook. And so Instagram, it's a whole new world for me. So I love that you're coming on and breaking this down step by step. And then everybody that gets to listen.
Absolutely. So, I've been following you on Instagram for a long time. So I've seen your content. I know you're consistent. I can see your growth. You're already at 35,000 followers. So I would say you kind of have this Instagram thing down. You know what you're doing.
I'm a professional Jimmy Rigger over on Instagram. I just Jimmy Rig it as I go. Okay, you like said that. Something about that you use Later. Facebook just came out with Creator Studio, but you would still rather use Later versus Instagram or Creator Studio?
Yeah. So Later is a verified partner of Instagram. So that's why I 100% recommend it as a scheduling tool. Also, Planoly is another one. So either one is a verified partner of Instagram. You're not going to be penalized for using an external platform to schedule or post. Creator Studio, I've only used for my Facebook page. I actually don't know if there's an option to post to my Instagram from Creator Studio. So that's something I want to look into. So definitely you can use a verified partner. Later has been in the game for many years. And the reason why I use Later is because as an agency, I used to run an agency, we could connect all of our client accounts. They all had their own accounts. All my team members were in place. We could also post to their Facebook, their Twitter, their Pinterest from Later. So it just became a really great centralized place to write our posts and plan our posts out.
Okay. Perfect. 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 And I'm glad you said Later and Planoly are verified partners because I was always hesitant. I know with Facebook, if you use someone else, it can run the risk of shutting your account down. So I'm glad that you said that. All right. Here's another question that I have for you. So when you're getting direct messages and a bunch of comments and you feel overwhelmed with it, can you let a customer service team in on your account, or how would you let a customer service person rep in your team, on your team, help to answer and serve your people better without breaking Instagram rules, or do you have to give them your password? Like, how do you get around that?
Yeah, those are all really great questions. Actually, I experienced this yesterday. I posted, and I like to use codes in my captions. So I posted something, and then at the end, I said, kind of similar to your bio, I said, do you want to know how? DM me three Apple emojis and I'll send you the link.
Oh, I love that.
And so I posted it and I left, and my team member messaged me and she's like, what happened to your direct messages? Like, they're going insane. I was like, oh, sorry. Yeah, we're doing a thing right now. And so she was able to man my direct messages because we were getting hundreds of requests for this link, all through people sending me three emojis. And the great thing about DMs is I'm not a phone person. And just this last year, Instagram has allowed direct messages to be accessed through your desktop. So my team member is signed into my account. Yeah, it's been a game changer. I think you can also connect your Instagram to your Facebook Creator Studio. And so when you go to your inbox there, you'll see your messages from your Facebook page as well as your Instagram account. So you can monitor your DMs through the Facebook end, or just go onto your desktop, sign into your account, your team member can sign into your account, and now you'll see a little paper airplane icon right at the top, and it tells you how many unread DMs you have. And that is the biggest time saver, because I was able to leave, my team member sent the link to everyone who requested it, and then I hopped into my account, I cleared out the DMs, and so now we're all good. Like, it didn't take that long. So desktop DMs is the way to go.
Oh, that is so great, because I've been answering personally on direct message, but there's some days where life just happens and it takes me a little while to get back to them, where my team, they're like within seconds and right on top of it. So, yay. Thank you, Instagram. Thank you for making that happen.
Agreed.
Okay. Comment pods. Let's talk comment pods.
Comment pods. Yeah, they were a really popular growth strategy in 2016. I believe that's when I started joining them. And if your listeners are hearing this and not familiar, what they are basically a group of people in your industry or your niche, and you all come together, maybe through a direct message thread, maybe through a WhatsApp group, something like that. But you all meet in a group and you all agree to post around the same time. And then at a certain time in the day, you can share the link to your post in the thread with each other. And generally within an hour, everyone's requirement, if they've shared their link, is to click through everyone's links, like and comment on their posts. So what this is doing is effectively you're getting a group of 10, 20, 30 people together so that you, when you post, you know you're going to get 10, 20, 30 comments from your comment pod. And the idea behind this was that then the algorithm liked to see fast action when you posted. So the algorithm would see, oh, a lot of people are liking and commenting, I'll show it to more people. So this was the original train of thought. And it definitely worked. Like, I used it when I was growing my travel niche, and I think we hit 30,000 followers within a summer, something like that. So Instagram caught on to this. Instagram is a big company, and it saw what was happening and started to see this as inauthentic engagement. And so, especially because people were connecting automation, like tools and software that would do this, like the auto comment thing, like all night long, basically. And so Instagram really started to crack down on inauthentic engagement. And so today, if you are running something similar where the same group of people are commenting on your posts, the algorithm will pick up on it, and it actually might kind of downgrade your account. So some people's account who have this history, they today feel like, oh, I can't grow, or no one's seen my stuff. Instagram might have kind of downgraded their account because of these practices that it sees as being, I don't know, maybe unethical. I'm not sure how they categorize it. So in 2020, what I'd recommend is not necessarily to engage in a comment pod, but to network. Like, it's still awesome to connect with people in your industry, even someone who you might see as a quote unquote competitor. Very rarely are we all offering the same thing through the same way, right? So I don't really believe in competitors, but Instagram is a networking tool. It's a sales and marketing tool. You can still use all the features that we talked about, maybe not in a structured way like a comment pod, but I have made so many great friends through Instagram. We have created little direct message threads where we'll talk. We naturally support each other's posts because we're friends. And it just happens in much more of a natural way. Instagram's algorithm wants to see that you're friends. It's actually come out and told us that it will share more content from friends and family. And how it defines that is if you have a two-way relationship with someone. So if you're both following each other, if you're both liking each other's and commenting on their on your posts, if you're replying to stories, it starts to see who you really care to engage with, and you'll see more of their content. And that, yeah, that goes across the board for anyone who's not even running a brand account.
That's super interesting and super smart technology, right? Super, super smart technology. Totally. Okay. I just remembered this, but as you're talking about people not selling through their Instagram account, but actually making sales, right? I went through your bio and somehow landed on a page of your favorite chair that you love. And guess who bought same chair that you have? Me. And I'm sitting in it right now and I love it. And so I loved how you sold me a chair, but you didn't really sell me a chair. You just said, this is what I use. This is what I love. And so as I'm sitting here, I thank you for recommending this awesome chair that I'm sitting in right now.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think you would have found my tools or resources page on my website where I've linked out all the products that I've recommended and I use. So that's really cool to meet someone who actually used that page and found a product that they actually love. So it's a good chair. I've had it for years. It's still going for me.
I love it. And maybe we'll leave a link down below for anybody else that's looking for an office chair. Fabulous. Okay. Yeah. Next one, let's talk about how to grow. So you already mentioned consistency. I feel like that seems to be the number one thing that keeps being brought up is consistency is going to help you to grow. So give me two other things that can help people to grow and not buying. We're not talking about buying, don't buy Instagram followers, but true followers. How would someone grow?
I always ask my students who are worried about growth or followers is, why do you feel like you don't have enough? Is if you're a brand new account, definitely you want to get a couple hundred people, right? If you already have a couple thousand people, why do you feel like you don't have enough followers, first of all? So are do you have the wrong followers who are currently following you and they're just not buying? So you kind of have to analyze and assess your account, because the truth is, for most businesses, they really just don't need that many more than 1,000 followers. I'd say for e-commerce, you could definitely sell quite a bit with a few thousand. And then you just want consistent new eyeballs on your business and your brand after that, right? You want the consistency of new people. So the first thing is the bio makeover, which we talked about. Second thing is your feed and content plan. So what are you going to share in your feed? What are you going to share in your stories? Those are foundational basics, right? After that, what you need to focus on for growth is what I call visibility strategies. Visibility just means we're getting new eyeballs on your brand, right? So how do you get more new eyeballs? Well, one way is to just create really good content that people resonate with. Today, Instagram cares not so much when people like or comment on the post. They care if people are saving it, so there's a little flag icon, or if they're hitting the paper airplane button and they're sharing it to their stories. So what I recommend to my students is create content, not for you as a brand, but create it for your community. What is something that's like a bumper sticker your community would put on their car? What's the tattoo they would put on their bicep? You know, with your brand, Allison, you have the Because You Can brand, right? Mm-hmm. So you have, and I think you have several slogans and taglines within your brand. So you want to start experimenting with what are the things that your community is going to share and save because you've just nailed it. You've said what they're thinking. It's resonating with them so much. So one thing is to start thinking about that, because if you create content that people share and save, Instagram's going to show it to more people. And that's how you get on the explore page, which is basically getting in front of people who've never followed you or seen you before. So that's one thing. Stories is also really, really great for adding new eyeballs onto your business. And this is essentially what I teach in Story Vault, which is one of my products. And it's 800 Instagram story ideas for business divided up into different phases. So let's just talk about the visibility phase. With stories, I want you to get strategic with what kind of stories you're sharing and how and who you can tag in your stories. So what you want to do is focus on tagging brands, other brands in your stories or other accounts that you know your target customer is following, right? So if you are selling yoga mats, for example, find a reason to create a story to feature a local yoga school or a local vegan cafe. When you tag them in a story, and it could just be a shout out, like, hey, I found this amazing cafe, so good, tag them. What happens on their end is they get a notification that Yoga Mats Are Us, just tag them in a story, and then Instagram gives them a button to be able to reshare it to their stories. And so that is the beauty of being strategic with your stories, tagging other brands that have a similar audience as you, and encouraging them, essentially, to reshare your story in their story. That is when you get new eyeballs on your brand, and that's how you continue your growth.
That works so well. And actually, I just took a selfie of us, and I will be tagging you on my Instagram. Because when anybody tags me on Instagram, 9 times out of 10, I'll reshare it. I mean, there's a couple that confuse me, or I think it's just spam. Have you ever gotten those when you get a tag and it doesn't even make sense? And so, of course, I'll skip those, but I am constantly sharing people that tag me, and I've got an audience of 35,000 people, and you're absolutely right. It gets more eyeballs to it. So good. So good.
Yeah.
So good.
And that's such a great tip, actually. So if you're hearing this strategy and you want to try it out, follow what Allison is saying, which is make sure your story is clear and obvious, like why you're tagging them. Make it somewhat simple, clean, maybe even on brand to the other account's brand. Just anything that's going to be more likely for them to share. Because I'm with you, Allison. If I get tagged in a story that's got a lot going on, there's a lot of stickers, a lot of gifts, a lot of text, I'm not going to share it because I know it won't be clear with my audience why I'm sharing it. Yeah. So plan ahead, be a little strategic. The more you can make your story simple, easy, on brand for the other account, the more they will reshare it.
One of my favorites that just came in this last week was a gal walking with her earbuds in, and she tagged the podcast and said, listening to Allison J. Prince. And I was like, that is awesome.
Perfect.
Of course I'm going to share that. Of course I'm going to shout out this gal who's listening to the podcast. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. Okay, so let's talk about your story vault a little bit more.
Yes. Yeah. So it's a product that developed about 6 months ago, maybe a bit longer, because so many of my students in my audience were saying, Elise, I get Instagram. There's a lot going on. And I get that you're telling us to be consistent on our stories, but I'm busy. I'm running a business. What about the days where I just don't have any idea? I don't have any motivation. I don't want to drop the consistency. So I came up with this product idea, and it's a prompts product, right? It gives you 800 ideas or prompts for your stories. And there were other products out there on the market, but none specific to Instagram. And the other thing that I wanted to do to differentiate this product was make sure that there was a system to it. I didn't want to give people a bunch of ideas and then overwhelm them with ideas. So I realized when I was riding my bike one day last summer in Toronto, I realized that my business has gone through different phases. Sometimes I need growth. I need visibility, right? I just need followers. I need new eyeballs. I also noticed that sometimes I need leads, right? Sometimes I'm building my list. Sometimes I want to know who of my followers are somewhat interested. I notice other times I need engagement, right? Sometimes I have enough followers and I just want to know who's listening, who's hearing my stuff. And the last thing I realized was sometimes I was launching, I was selling, I was promoting, I was doing a big push, there was a deadline. So those were the four seasons that I realized my business went through: visibility, engagement, lead generation, and sales. And if you think about it, that's kind of the customer journey, right? Someone has to discover you first. They need to be kind of interested and engage. Then they need to raise their hands and say, yeah, I'm interested. And then they become a customer. So what I've done is divided up the Instagram story ideas by these seasons. So you can choose, yeah, I want follower growth. So you're going to use the visibility prompts. Or if you're like, I need to grow my email list, you're going to use the lead generation prompts. So you can pick and choose. Sometimes people aren't sure what season they're in. And I just say, if you're in doubt, go for visibility, because we can all use growth.
I love it. And I love how it's not just getting eyeballs, but there's call to actions in there. for your business. It is for eventually getting them to become a customer versus just getting more followers. Followers and customers are totally different. And as e-commerce and businesses, we want more customers, not just followers. We want more customers in the door.
Exactly.
Okay, so how do people get a hold of that?
Just go to storyvault.co and you'll get it there. Or you can find me on Instagram at Elise Dharma. And if you can't find the link, you can just DM me and my team will get it to you.
And also, just so everybody knows that's listening, I actually got this last week and it is amazing. It is so good. So I highly recommend grabbing that.
I'm glad you like it. Thanks for supporting. That's awesome.
Okay. And then Instagram, where can people find you on Instagram and YouTube?
Yeah. Elise Dharma is the name to search, Dharma. So at Elise Dharma on Instagram and Elise Dharma on YouTube for tons of tutorials, really Perfect. Specific and deep into Instagram marketing.
And it is so good. It is like binge worthy. Get over there. we're going to be creating gifts and stickers today. I already know it's on my to-do list because of awesome. Your tutorials.
Yay.
Wondered how to, I've watched a few other videos and they just were missing some things, but yours was super clear and I loved it. So thank you for putting out the content for us.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for doing this podcast.
Thanks, Allison.
All right. Let's be honest. Do you have writer's cramp? For all the notes that you took from Elise, she is a powerhouse when it comes to Instagram. And I'm so grateful that she came on and shared so much information with us. All right. Now I'm going to dive into the top 10 takeaways and you may just be listening to some music in the background. That is my 12-year-old doing piano lessons virtually, which is pretty darn cool that we can do virtual things now when we can't do face to face. So if you hear that noise in the background, he is tickling the ivories. All right. Number one, she dives into the top three places that you should be posting on Instagram. Number one is your stories and your reels, and you get people to engage on them, which goes to number two, your direct messages, so that you can have real conversations with them. And then the third one is Instagram TV, IGTV. You can do a live. Let's say you're showing your products live. Don't forget to save those and move it over into your IGTV for other people to watch. It doesn't go away after 24 hours. It lives on in your feed, giving amazing content for people who are coming into your world and want to know more about you. Number two, Instagram, guess what? It's over perfection. Those over edited perfect pictures are a thing of the past. Hallelujah on that one. Number three, more people are watching stories than scrolling the feed. So if you ever wonder which one you should do first, a story or a post, Elise goes with the stories. Number four, this one was a big one for me. Instead of the likes and the comments that everybody's going after because they think that's what they need to get discovered, it's actually the shares and the saves. And remember, you can check your insights. Just go to your Instagram. At the bottom, it says view insight of a picture. And you can push that button right there. Or if you're in your stories, you can scroll up, like just push up, and you're able to see all the people that shared and saved your stuff. That is gold, gold, gold to Instagram right now. Number five, there's three main types of content that you can produce. Number one, education. Show your customers three different ways to use your product. Number two, you can do something fun, something entertaining for them. And number three is inspire your customers. Number five, let's say you really don't want to show your face on social media and you don't want to be the talking head. That's fine. But be the voice. Explain why, what, how you're doing things and just turn the camera around. Let your hands and your fingers and your products be the face of your Instagram stories. Number seven, when using hashtags, scroll down. Find the hashtags that don't have millions and millions of hashtaggers using them. You want to find the ones that are at least under 100,000. If you're just getting started, 10 to 50 is a sweet spot right in there. Number eight, clean up your bio and make sure it has a strong call to action. Number nine, the best way for growth, you guessed it, consistency. It's not about perfection. It's about consistency. And coming in with number 10, republish your content. You've already done the work. So post it all over, wherever, Facebook, you can go post it to YouTube. Repost, republish your content because it's amazing and not everybody lives just on Instagram alone. All right, I hope you loved the episode as much as I did. And you can go relax your hand now from all the writer's cramp that happened with this podcast episode. It was so fun to listen to. All right, now, here's another thing that I need you to do. If you can go over to Apple and rate and review this podcast. The rating and review on podcasts is kind of like the lifeblood of the podcasting world to help this podcast get ranked higher. And when it gets ranked higher, guess what happens? More people get to see it. And it's my mission, it's my goal for more people to grow their online businesses because of what it did to me 9.5 years ago. It completely changed my life. It took a mom of four who was an old school teacher qualifying for government assistance. I was scared. I was nervous. I was unsure. And it gave me the confidence to be able to create an income where my husband, he is basically retired. Yes, he comes in and he helps, but he doesn't have to work. And heck, I don't even have to work anymore because of what business building has done in our life. And there's not a day that we go by that we don't just sit for a second and count our blessings for what we have been given. And because of that, we felt like this journey was never for us. It was for us to share. And we want to share it with others. So when you rate and review, it goes out to more people so that they can live their Because I Can life as well. Have a wonderful, beautiful day. Go out there, put money in your pocket where it belongs, and we'll see you next Tuesday on the Because I Can Life podcast. Hey, thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Because I Can podcast. If you've ever been interested on starting your online business, let me show you the 3 secrets to planning, launching, and growing your online store, even if you don't know what to sell. All you have to do is head over to 0-100k.com. That's where you can sign up for my free class. I'll go over why having a Shark Tank idea will make you fail. The little known trick that helped me to sell over $1.1 million in pillowcases with 0 following. And the secret to running a business when my kids took a nap. And if you were like I was, you just wanted to earn some extra money for your growing family, that's exactly why I created this system. And it has helped thousands of people make their first dollar online and countless others to go on and make their first $1,000, $10,000, $100,000, and even crossing the $1 million mark. So go over to 0-100k.com to grab your seat for the next class to find out how you can be the next one. Until next time, we'll see you later.